Good afternoon. Welcome to the beginning of the official board meeting. A special welcome to Sue Lloyd. It's not the first time she sits at this table, but the first time as board member. It must be a special feeling. It's a special feeling to us. Before we start with bearer plans, I want to announce also to the people who are listening that we have decided to swap insurance with leases, so we'll discuss leases
insurance
tomorrow and leases on Thursday due to an upcoming snowstorm in the United States, and we expect the insurance industry to be more they can deal better with adverse weather conditions than the leasing industry. So that's why we swapped. Michelle, you're going to give us feedback from the comment letters on our proposals with regards to IAS 41.
The exposure draft contains the proposal to account for bearer plants like property, plant and equipment in accordance with IAS 16, thereby permitting a cost or a revaluation model instead of the IAS 41 fair value model. The staff will not be asking the board to make any decisions today. However, we're inviting board discussion on the comment letter analysis in paper 14A. And in particular, the staff would like to gauge the initial views of ISB members on how the project should proceed in light of these comments, and particularly regarding the scope of the project. The staff think it's worth keeping in mind during the discussion that the aim of the project was a possible limited scope carve-out for a subset of biological assets known as bearer biological assets, responding particularly to concerns raised by respondents to the agenda consultation and standard setters relating to the reporting by plantation companies. The project was not set up with the intention of providing a more comprehensive look at IAS 41 or revisiting the fair value model for other biological assets. So as a quick reminder, as a focus of the discussion, I'll quickly cover the three main issues raised by respondents. The three main issues are, firstly, regarding the scope. The exposure draft proposes to restrict the scope of the amendments to bearer plants that are only used as bearer assets. So it's following a no alternative use model. Approximately half of all respondents suggested including bearer livestock in IAS 16, for example, dairy cows and animals held for breeding. There was also significant support for, say, a predominant use or business model approach for other biological assets. Secondly, one of the key issues was regarding measurement of produce. The exposure draft includes bearer plants within the scope of IAS 16, but the produce growing on the plants remains under the IAS 41 fair value model. And almost half of all respondents disagreed and highlighted the practical problems of doing this. And the third key issue is more than half of respondents said additional guidance was required to apply the IAS 16 cost model to bearer plants. By far the most frequent request was guidance on when a bearer plant reaches maturity, so when it's in the location and condition necessary to operate as intended. For example, should this be when produce starts to grow, when the plant reaches a commercial level of produce, or say when the plant stops developing and reaches the maximum output of produce. I don't plan to go through the rest of the detail in paper 14A unless any ISB members want me to particularly focus on a specific area. So do ISB members have any questions or any observations on the comment letter analysis? Or the project in general.
Michelle, one question is related whether we should provide guidance, particularly on premature period. Is related to another question, that is whether the exception should be in 16 or in 41. And it seems, as I understand it, if you want to keep in 16, I would say no. But if some would say you put into 41 will be much more useful, then extend a little bit will be much more preferable. you know, how is the respondents seeing the perception on this issue?
A number of respondents did note that they had concerns if we added a lot of additional guidance in IS16, that people may use that guidance to apply it to property, plant and equipment. And so therefore, if we were to add additional guidance, it may be better that we actually kept bearer plants within IS41 and made reference to requirements in IS16.
Yeah, Shell, in relation to the scope, I mean, I think we set out quite clearly what the scope of this project was when we set it out, and it was an aim to get improvement in financial reporting for businesses that operate plantations and vineyards. And I think it'd almost be another project to expand the scope, and it'd certainly be another project to comprehensively review IS41. So I guess as an overall comment, I'm in favour of getting on with what we exposed and finishing that, and then we can give consideration as to whether we should be looking at the standard in other ways. Darryl?
A lot of the same as what Ian just said. I think the scope of bearer plants is a relatively limited scope that we can understand very clearly. As soon as we get into things like either animal, like the animals for example, or expand the scope beyond the alternative use limitation that we put on it, I think we add a lot more complexity to the project, and then I think it stops being a limited amendment and becomes something a lot more substantial. So my inclination would be to maintain the limitation that we've got right now, and I think that would allow us to finish a project fairly quickly, either with a yes or no, but with that limited scope I think it makes it a lot easier for us to finish it. Anything else is going to extend this a lot longer, and I think, to be honest, I don't think there's a bearer plant or animal or total. I think it's bearer plant or total.
Patricia?
Well, as everyone knows, I wasn't very enthusiastic about the scope to begin with. I thought it was too broad to begin with, so I'm not really happy about thinking about expanding it. But I was wondering, in those that were arguing for expanding it beyond the bearer plants, what their reasoning was. I mean, my understanding of why the board was sympathetic to excluding bearer plants from the fair value requirement was because of concerns about the availability of fair value information for land when it had a vineyard attached to it, or something of that sort. And was that the same concern, lack of fair value information for expanding the scope, or were there other reasons for them believing this scope should be expanded?
I think mainly it's also the conceptual basis. They didn't understand why we were singling out plants when there are animals that are essentially...
Yes, I don't understand that either.
Kevin? I too would be all in favor, let's get this done ASAP, but intellectually it seems some of the breeding animals do feel like a bearer plant. If we decided to put that into scope, what complications or delays do you think that would cause?
I think the problem is that when we've focused on the exposure, we have looked at the issues and developed it with the issues, well, with the mindset of say plantations and vines, and I think that it probably would, to understand how the issues relate to livestock and to other kinds of plants, we would have to do extra work.
If we would include in the redeliberations the measurement of products, that is something I tend to feel a bit sympathy for that point of view. With, you know, what's the meaning of the fair value of produce that is still on the plant? I wonder. Would that be an extension of the scope, or is that something that we could do without greatly expanding the scope of the whole project?
Can I just raise a point on that, though? I guess my concern in going down that route, and I should have actually mentioned it earlier, is that we then treating the produce of bearer plants differently to how we're treating plants that are simply in a growth cycle.
Yeah.
So you end up saying that where it is something that will grow for a year produce it, and you will use it as the actual fruit, or in fact a tree, for example, I suppose, because it's not a bearer plant. You treat that differently to the one where you're actually going to sell the apple off the tree. Mm. And that doesn't seem to make sense to me. I think that I think was part of our principle, and that seems to be it sort of holds, I think. Mary?
I'm another supporter of the keep the project focused and make a decision about whether that focused project is worth doing or not. I think many of the issues that were raised in here would be worth recapping and raising, I think, in the next agenda consultation, you know, other issues that were raised and whether there's further work, but I think we should keep that separate. The responses on a couple of the more detailed points. The do we keep it as proposed in IS-16, or do we move the comment and accompanying guidance that we would have to create given the move from 16 into 41? I think we need to go back and look at what we were thinking and more detail in the responses. My recollection was that our conclusion was the nature of the item was closest to that, rather than it being a, it doesn't matter, so put it in here. It wasn't just practical. It was, I think, my recollection is a conceptual conclusion. And if we think the nature really is more like IS-16, then I think we should keep it in there. I can see an argument for a very, very limited comment about what the test of available for use means in the context of a bearer biological asset, but just a very limited comment, not starting to write a lot of guidance or respond to all the requests for guidance. And I think that's what the scope of the project would be. I think we have to look at some of the practicality concerns. How do you allocate your maintenance, et cetera, for the fertilizing and growing the tree versus this year's crop? If we conclude that can't be addressed, that it isn't sufficiently clear, or that's a real problem to go in this route, then I think we just have to abandon the project rather than compensating by scaling it. You know, scaling it to make it a larger, more all-encompassing project. But I do think it is worth us going back and looking at reaching a resolution on the scope of the project that we started, and not losing sight of the other arguments, mm-hmm. but just considering what would be adding a much more significant project to our agenda. Oh, and I guess the last thing is there, within the context of the project, some people were saying about cost, think about how widely you draw that net. And I'll use language from different standards. How full a cost is it, for example, the infill issue, but also, well, if you're talking about bearer biological assets, is it also the shade trees that you grow and, you know, and all the ancillary things? And if this is a signal that people are going to take whatever scope we do and try to push it as broadly as possible, I again think we have to look at being clear what the limited scope of our project is.
Doc?
Yes, thank you. Like others, I agree we should stay on narrow scope amendment. Otherwise, the title must be changed. So then we should stay on the narrow scope, bearer plants. But I have other things to mention, two things. One is about products on the bearer plants. According to the ED, we treat it as a fair value measurement, stay on the IS-41. However, I don't think it is consistent with the treatment of the bearer plant itself. Once you treat bearer plant as a factory-like PPE, then why the outcome products of that factory would be treated differently? I can't understand any reason why we should treat it differently. Of course, I can understand the argument, the comparison between apple and carrots. We discussed it, and we should keep the consistency with the apple and carrot. However, I think the consistency within the standard and within the principle is more important than the consistency with the similar products. So that's why I think we have to revisit about the, you know, measurement of the products of the Vera plant.
So the other thing, how do they currently estimate the fair value of totally unripe apples on a tree?
Presumably percentage of how far down the process it is to
looking at current market prices and then taking the percentage.
Just if I can ask Tuck a question, I mean, would you then value the apples on the tree at zero?
No.
Until you pick them from the tree?
We need to consider the...
So you try to estimate what the cost of the apples is.
It should be and similar to work in progress.
Yes, exactly. I visited, palm plant in Malaysia with Hans and see the how the maintenance cost is. And I have a rough idea how can attribute some costs to the products. Because there are some first installment cost and then ongoing cost, and it is you can clearly divide.
It would be rather meaningless.
It becomes completely arbitrary. And I think the idea, to my mind, the idea in IS 41 before applying market price in the first place, was because cost doesn't give you an answer that's reliable. It's not a meaningful answer, whereas applying a market value to your estimated produce seems to be meaningful, and it tells you something about your expected future cash flows.
Yeah, but once you put Bella plant itself into the IS-16, I think it's quite difficult to know, you know, what is the cost for the product, what is the cost for the Bella plant.
To my mind, that's an argument for saying then you should perhaps put Bella plant back into fair value.
Yeah.
To be honest, because that's more and more reasonable, more reliable.
Yeah. I understand your point, but we have already decided that Vera plant should be treated like a factory. Then why do we have to give the inconsistent treatment
obviously
for the Vera plant for the factory and the product?
It was, you know, such a clear cut case, we would never have made the first decision to begin with. Put it at fair value. So I mean, this is somewhere in between.
It's a tension
between the two standards.
And the other thing is about the point Weigel mentioned, whether we should change, the place of this change, improvement, amendment, whether or not we should amend IS-16 or keep IS-16 as it is, and keep every amendment into the IS-41. I think we should put it in IS-41 only, do not change IS-16 at all, with different reasons. You get the constituent paper gave. Paper said that this is because for the accounting standard management purposes, but there are other benefits to put it into the IS-41. Because if we put it into the IS-16, lots of people has to read that amendment, and lots of people, non-agricultural industry people, have to look at whether my plum tree in my office should be treated like Bella plants or something like that. So therefore, in order to avoid such a confusion, I think we should keep it in the IS-41.
Stephen?
I think we should keep it narrow as in the ED. I disagree with TAC on the tree being the factory at cost, because the soil in which the carrot grows is also at cost, and that's the factory for the carrot, but I don't see any difference. So I don't think we should entertain differentiating the produce on the tree versus the produce in the ground. However, I do think we should do a post-implementation review of IS-41 as a whole, because I think that it's time that this was looked at in more detail, in a more comprehensive way, because I suspect that this board might come to some different conclusions about some of these things if we were to look at it again. So I would support adding a wider project to the agenda, but get this one done.
Well, you're supporting a new topic in the agenda or a post-implementation review, because they're two different things.
Well, I whatever gets it on the agenda easily and speedily.
I think for the agenda, we have to go through an agenda consultation
Do
process.
We?
Well, yeah. I think we should, even if we don't have.
Do we have to go through one for post-implementation review? I know we're only limiting these to standards issued after a certain date, but should we be doing that, or should we be thinking what is what we need to review rather than what we're obliged to review under whatever constitutional thing it was?
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'd be concerned about committing to review every standard that's been issued.
Well, what I'm a bit concerned about is that we only review the recent standards, which probably have the highest quality, and that we leave the old stuff behind, which is the most problematical. We never get rid of the IASs.
But that's what the agenda consultation is for, to tell us which ones the constituents think need to be reviewed and in what priority.
Well, no, it doesn't tell us which ones should be reviewed. It tells us which ones should go under the agenda.
Well, yes. Which ones need repairs and maintenance?
Yeah, but the post-implementation review might tell us some of that.
I think there's some historical factors here, because the thing is, our agenda has always been, if you tell us you want to do something, then create a new standard. I don't know if people, they're not sure what they want, and they want to review. And I think it is possible that you could actually highlight or rank the standards you think it should at least be reviewed. It no longer commits us to actually just going ahead with a standard. And I sensed in the last agenda consultation, I think the extractive activities was a clear case. Everybody in extractive activities said, no, don't do a project on it, because the presumption is we're going to go just do a standard. If we are doing some thinking about it, I think there'll be a lot more receptive to doing so. And so there's not a lot of harm in actually doing developing a program of priority projects, not priority projects, post-implementation reviews, and saying, look, let's have a look at some of these things. The FASB's, or the FAF, has actually got everyone on their list, but I think we should prioritise.
But how do we set the priority of which ones come first? That's why I think the agenda consultation needs to come first, so that people tell us, because we can't do them all simultaneously, and so people will accuse us of cherry-picking if we pick agriculture and we don't pick foreign currency. Right? So I think we need the agenda consultation to tell us, if we are going to do these reviews, what order we do them in, how to prioritize them. Yeah. That's what I was trying to say before.
Yeah. Beth?
Michelle, there's a statement in the summary that says that investors are interested in the fair value of land as well as the fair value of the bare biological assets. In your experience, how many people are actually disclosing the value of the land, either separately or together? Because I'm aware, based on some research that I've seen, that is a critical component of the value of these enterprises. In other words, investors are interested very much in the value of the land. And so the question is how difficult, and there's a lot of pushback here on valuing biological assets, but presumably there isn't a lot of pushback in valuing land. Land is valued all across the planet, pretty standardized approaches to doing so. So I'm just curious, how difficult is that, and how many companies are actually making that disclosure? Because it would seem that if in fact these entities are presented with an impairment scenario, they're going to have to go through a fair value measurement exercise. And all of the issues that are identified here towards the end of the paper about reasons why people oppose fair value are essentially going to have to be addressed. So two questions. One, who's disclosing the value of the land? Because it seems to be something that investors are interested in, so I think it's something the board should take into consideration.
Yeah.
As opposed to not providing any fair value information. Maybe it's easier to value the land and the plants together. Second one is, what do they do in the context of an impairment? Do they have to deal with these so-called issues of allocation, cultivation costs, and lack of active markets, which is something that struck me as odd, because I always understood there was active markets for these plantations. Perhaps not of the produce before maturity, as we were just discussing, but of actively producing bare plants.
I think it's probably the fact that there's no active market, because all the land and all the plantations are different in terms of the soil quality, the location, everything. So that in that sense, there wouldn't be an active market for plantations. Regarding whether companies are disclosing the land, I haven't really been looking through, couldn't really give you an indication of what percentage of companies are disclosing the land, but that's something I could look at.
Yeah, and if you could kind of embellish this point that you make at the very beginning of the paper in terms of the, let me see what paragraph it is. It's in paragraph 7, A, triple I. Fair value information is not very useful without fair value information about related land.
Mm-hmm.
How many people would actually welcome that kind of disclosure as opposed to, you know, it not being there? I think if you asked any investor, would they object to that disclosure, I think you would find a null set.
But in fairness, if you asked any investor, even of non-agricultural companies, right, you might find the same answer.
Of what?
Of
the
non-agriculture.
The market
fair
value of land.
In other words, the fair value of land is not an agriculture only issue.
No question. There's an opportunity for an improvement.
There's not the scale.
Different project.
Put that on the agenda.
Philippe?
Well, thanks. I think I would support keeping the scope relatively limited to plants and not extending to livestock. But I was very interested by the discussion, the arguments in paragraph 53 about the fair value of the produce during growth. And I was nearly convinced in reading those arguments that we need to really have a close look at and discuss the value of those arguments. I think that, as pointed out, I've grown a very small apple tree on a tree that has no market of any kind. It's not about active market, it's about no market. The value is quite difficult to estimate, and starting from the value of the grown apple back to the value of just very small apple is difficult. And what can happen in terms of growing? Just some bad weather can destroy all this culture. So I think the volatility and the risk associated with the measurement of that is huge. And I was also the example of the rubber trees, where the volume of latex sap inside is just impossible to estimate. So I think we really need to examine those arguments and to decide whether, as Zach said, if the land and the plant together form the factory, are akin to a factory, then what they produce is work in progress until the point where it is the finished good. And to take the profit during the production process, or to take it at the point of harvest situation when it's finished, or when it is sold, is a big decision. I would be maybe happy to take profit when the product is ready to be sold, when it is ready to be harvested, because you can check that it does exist and there is a potential. But all over the growing phase, take profits.
Philippe,
the estimated basis.
Same question as for Tuck. Would you measure it at cost?
Yeah.
And is cost not subject to those same risks? And
apparently, people tell us, response to it is not difficult, not that difficult. It is maybe as reliable, even more, they say, as doing an estimate of market price.
I'm sure.
So I would have a look. I think we need to have a look.
We would really have to look at, you know, post-implementation review, how this goes in practice now with, for example, carrots under the ground. I would imagine that they estimate the value of that extremely low, as long as it's in the ground and not harvested. Because you can very well say, well, the fair value is zero, because I don't know if there's going to be extreme weather conditions, and I only start counting a positive fair value once it's harvested. So I think probably already in practice, how people do it gives pretty meaningless information.
I think most of them set their fiscal year, so they don't have the issue of having to measure them.
Also, sorry.
They set their fiscal year.
They report just after harvest.
The year end comes after harvest.
So that would say it's self-correcting then. You know, you might have an interim issue, but it resolves itself by year end.
Right. Yeah.
Unless it's timber
or
multi-year.
You need a couple of fiscal
years. Apply to a latex sap, which is harvested continuously.
Yeah.
There is no closing. There is no physical cycle.
No, but he was questioning carrots.
Yes, for years.
But you know, it's a cyclical thing. And if your balance sheet's the same date, your balance date's the same each year,
your work in progress won't vary much. I think cost will be a meaningless fee because it's a thing that grows. So while we're talking about factories and making things, this is something that just grows on its own.
If you look at the vinery, a vine, to produce the grapes, you need to do a lot of work throughout the production. You have a cost. And sometimes you have no cost because it's just natural growth and without. So I think.
Well, I think probably both cost and fair value give pretty meaningless information for work in progress. So that is an argument for not switching, I would say, to keep it the same and to remain consistent with the other produce in progress. They'll find a way to deal with it.
Okay. Mary?
I think if we are going to look at the point that Philippe was just raising, I think one other person did about extending the cost in the proposal to the produce on the bare biological asset, that if we look at that driven by the concerns about the practicality of making the switch, we should consider not just whether we extend cost, but also whether that practicality problems means that we should not proceed with the limited scope project, which had as a very clear scope looking only at the bare biological assets. So I don't think we should just look at it one-sided, should we expand the scope, but look at the seriousness of that and say, does it mean that we shouldn't try and do a limited scope project? Because I think that's a very significant change, in the scale of what we're suggesting. And back on the point about the issues raised, should this be accelerated into with something like post-implementation review? I think any time you look at a standard and area, you get people telling you all the problems in it. So when we look at this and we read this paper, it immediately kind of raises it up, the to-do list. But I think we do have to be disciplined at looking at prioritizing. So rather than making one-off decisions about not only what major projects we do, but also about what PIRs, we do have to try and rank them across others and not just react as we're already looking at one standard.
Well, I like Pat's suggestion on that. The consultation, as well as asking what should go on the agenda as a project, we could also maybe ask what they think should be reviewed in post-implementation review, and people could give us an idea.
Jan's going to tell us about palm plantations in Lapland.
No. We don't have anything in Lapland. Only small things. I met during my years quite a few people who have been in different parts of the economic environment, in fish farming and wood plantation and whatever, and a lot of investors, a lot of analysts, they like to see the fair value, of course, but they don't want to see it in profit. They want to see some realization, and they want to make their own adjustment of what is the true value of certain things. But regardless of that, I don't think we have to always do everything with a big project. I thought we had sort of an idea of doing some basic research. And I think instead of doing a big thing around this, why don't we say that we have some people look into this? How is this information used in real life? What are the analysts doing on these companies? How do they do it? And thereby we could get sort of a little bit more of a factual-based substance for to discuss this. Because I think just now we are just shooting ideas like I'm doing without having much of a solid base.
I think, Alan, that we really need a clear picture for the next couple of years of what is it that we're going to do in post-implementation reviews, what is it that we're going to do in research projects, and what is it that we test out in the agenda consultation.
I agree, we could do some research, but then if we start doing that, then we're going to get 50 people saying, well, actually, no, you should do this one first.
Well, do we have to consult on research? Well, can we make...
No, but it's still... Well, we have to keep the advisory council informed. It's really up to you.
We don't have
still,
to do that.
No, it's still a matter of resources, because we could actually sit there and go through. Yeah. I think we have 28 IASs still in the books.
Yeah.
And which is the one, which ones do we pick on first?
It's not do we have to, but I'm saying
we could have someone who is working sort of one person for 6 months on this and just reading sort of investment recommendations and things like that.
Well, we don't have one, but we know more.
I can't get the existing stuff going.
We don't have the staff to do it.
I can do it.
You'll have lots of time after July.
We'll give you a post-career research report.
We have ASAP.
We could, and that's the other thing, we could ask, but the Australians in particular have encouraged us to do a post-mutation review.
But also,
we have some people in Lapland who are idle during winter.
But also I think we need to be careful with the national standard setters, because we've got a bad history of sending them off to look at things that we might not necessarily do anything with as well. So.
Okay.
Fish and
one thought that I had, even though this is not a major overhaul of the standard, is it is an important improvement, which is felt to be a very important improvement around the world. Should we rename it an IFRS? Would this be
It's an amendment to an existing.
You can only do that if you completely overhaul the standard. And how do we ever get rid of the IAS?
You completely overhaul them.
That's the plan. That's what I think.
Okay. We can do what we like.
We have to have a codification project.
Okay, just a thought. Any other comments? So, Michelle, I think the message is pretty clear.